Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to Tuesday's edition of what? The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory. Now, I won't go through all the story again where that came from, but I'm not smart enough to have come up with that on my own. Praise God. And we're talking about an attitude of gratitude, being thankful to God all the time. If you can't be thankful for anything else, you can be thankful you're not going to hell.
That's right.
I mean, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. That's number one.
That's right.
Then the other things that surround that magnificent, the greatest miracle of all is in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Any man that is in Christ is a new creature. One translation says, a new species of being that never existed before.
That's right.
That happened to me on the second day of November 1962, about 8:30, about 10 minutes after 8 in the evening.
Amen.
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 And I was rough on the edges of everything else. I didn't know anything. And then when I got to ORU and I had all my books, Greg, it said Roman through Romans, I thought. And I kind of whispered it out loud on my way to class. I thought, maybe I better read Romans before I roam through it. T.L. Osborne said, Copeland, you're born free. I said, That's free of what? He said, you didn't have any religion to unlearn.
That's right.
Everything Gloria and I knew was faith. Amen.
Yeah, it's good.
Praise God.
I had a lot to unlearn.
Amen. So here we are.
Chapter 1.
Praise God. Verse 21 of the first chapter of Romans. Because, for the last part of the 20th verse, so they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They were fools at heart, even though they knew God. But I put it like this, even though they knew God, they were doing things that they knew they were wrong, and horribly wrong, but they were not thankful. They didn't thank Him for anything. And so their heart was so darkened, they didn't get that way after they got into all that sin. They got that way, and that's what got them into the sin. The sin was, the darkness was the horrible sins they were committing. But they got that way because they had no gratitude toward God. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Greg, every night of my life, for so many years, I can't count it back. I tell Gloria good night. If I'm on the road somewhere, I call her. And I lay down and I said, Lord Jesus, like when that young lawyer was testing you and said, what is the greatest commandment of all? And sir, you said the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Done.
So love is the curtain rod.
Yes.
That's right.
And I've been saying that every night, so long I don't remember when I started it. So that you get that built in you. It's built there. And
well, you've set your course on that.
Yes.
You read past in this in Romans 1, all these, there's horrible things. All of these verses down to 31 to where they actually end up being covenant breakers.
Yes.
Now, they didn't set off to do that.
No.
But if they give you a heading of 180, you went south, and you're off by 2 degrees, not a big deal in for 15 minutes, for, you know, just a few minutes. But if you keep that up over a period of time, you're way off course.
Oh, yeah. And you could get to the point where, and I'm sorry to say that people do it. You get to the point and you keep thinking, well, I don't have enough fuel to make it over there. But you've drifted, not keeping up with it, that 2 degrees. It may be more than that if you have a crosswind.
Right. And now an hour later.
Now I have whoa, where am I?
Yeah.
Run out of fuel? And people say, I can't understand why God allowed that to happen.
Well, because you go up here, verse 17 of chapter 1.
Yes, it is.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Here's how it's revealed. Mm-hmm. From faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith.
That is it what?
Written.
It is written. You don't have any excuse if it's written. They weren't living by faith. What were they doing? Living by their flesh.
Right.
They don't have their checklist out.
That's right.
Going by what's written. Now,
everybody's done that.
Sure. Yeah.
Not to the extent, mm-hmm, I pray to God, that these were doing it.
Right.
But everybody's missed it. But be quick to repent and slow to anger.
Yes.
Quick to repent. Oh, Jesus.
So how could covenant people not be thankful? How could they miss it? There's an example in the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 17. Let's go there. All right. Mm-hmm. Luke 17, beginning with verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. Now, Luke, up till this point, Luke, there's 3 years of Jesus' life and ministry recorded. We're getting into that last half year here. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee.
Where now? Samaria and Galilee.
And Galilee. This is north of Judea. So Samaria.
So talk about the Samaritans a minute for the...
Okay, little backstory for what's about to happen here. The Samaritans, the kingdom split after David and Solomon. Mm-hmm. And you had Samaria to the north, Judah to the south. And Samaria is the Jews from Judah don't like the Samaritans and vice versa. The Samaritans are Jewish. A lot of them inbred, or they bred with people from other lands. And so a lot of them are what we consider half-breeds. You know, they're half Jewish, but they hold to the Torah. They just don't honor the prophets or the other
books. You can get a good look at that. It's a woman at
the
well.
She is a Samaritan.
Yeah. Yes.
And she will even say, you say we worship at your mountain, Zion. We say we worship at that mountain. Well, that's the blessing mountain.
Yes. And the disciples were astonished that he would have anything to do with her.
Mm-hmm. Because a good Jew, and Jesus is from Judah, his tribe, doesn't have anything to do. They'll go around Samaria. Today we would know Samaria. We know today the world calls it the West Bank. I hate that term.
I'll tell you.
It's Samaria and Judea. And so when you understand about this Samaritan, and it's interesting, it says Samaria and Galilee, because in the time of Jesus, both places are not held to high regard. Even the Galileans, Nathanael will say, is there anything good that comes out of Galilee?
Nazareth was right there.
Nazareth is part of Galilee.
and can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come out of this Galilee area?
Well, how would I make Americans understand? It's flyover country. You know, I mean, it's not the elites.
Well,
they're a bunch of country rednecks, is the way.
A bunch of fishermen.
Yeah.
Don't know anything about any kind of business. They're just hard working guys, and one of them particularly, I mean, he'll not knock you flat of your back if you just look at him strong, is some guy named Simon Barjona or something like that. he's a big man. I mean, he'll hurt you.
Isaiah referred to the Galilee as Galilee of the Gentiles.
And two of those brothers were called the Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. Yeah, they're a bunch of country. They're rednecks.
And that's who Jesus wanted to run with.
Yeah. And the majority of his ministry happened in that area. The northern part, after the kingdom was split, is called Israel. The southern part is called Judah. Jesus will say, I didn't come except for the lost sheep of Israel. Didn't say Judah. Because he knows his purpose of why his first coming is to be. So they regarded the Galilee of Goyeshe, is how you would say it in Hebrew. They're un-Jewish. They're not as good of Jews as we are. So here's what happens. They're going through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off.
And they lifted. Of course they did.
They had to. By the law, they had to. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have hesed on us.
And all of them did.
All 10 of them.
All of them lifted their voices. Okay.
Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Leviticus commands them to do that. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Mm-hmm. 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered and says, was there not 10 cleansed?
Now, there's his faith talking. Weren't all of them cleansed? He didn't say, maybe those other guys didn't get anything. No. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and it's the Father within me. He does the work. Of course they were cleansed.
Now, they didn't call him rabbi here. The Greek word, and forgive me, Rick Renner, if I mess it up, epistata, master. It's a lower place. They're bound there. They recognize that he's at a different place. So they had humility when they asked. They admit they're outcasts to Jewish society. They're acknowledging his authority, especially when they called for hesed. See, in the time of Jesus, going all the way back to the time of Moses, leprosy was considered a direct judgment of God on that person. Mm-hmm. That person had sinned because it goes back to the time of Moses when somebody rose up against him and was given leprosy.
Yeah, Miriam.
Right. Miriam. And he said, go show yourselves to the priest. The Torah commands that, Leviticus 13 and 14. And what would happen is I would, as the priest, you would visually inspect my hands, my arms. You'd look to see if there was any sores or anything. And then you would go through the rituals of cleansing yourself.
For sake of the radio and television audience, let's take Bartimaeus. You had to be examined and prove that you were blind.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You couldn't be a con artist and get away with it. Mm. They would examine you every way possible and absolutely prove that you were blind. And then you were issued a coat.
Right.
And you wore that garment so that people would know you had been checked out by the priests and you were actually blind. Now, Bartimaeus began to cry, Son of David, Son of David, do hesed for me. Mm-hmm. And he kept shouting it. Well, Jesus stopped. He had to. He called for hesed.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one there. They didn't recognize it. They tried to get him shut up.
Right.
He stopped and said, bring him here. Mm-hmm. When he got up, he dumped that coat.
That's right.
That was his act of faith. He dropped that coat.
He took the handicap sticker off his car.
Yes, he did. Yes, he
That's
did.
That's what he did. Put it in our terms.
Wow. Yes, sir. He did that. Yeah. Jesus said, what do you want? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He had to say it. He said, your faith has made you whole. Immediately, his sight returned, and he followed him in the way.
Amen. The healing of these 10 began with a test of faith. Yes. He said, go show yourself. He didn't pray for them, didn't lay hands on them, didn't do anything.
He made
as they went. Now, if they would have never went, what would have happened? Because the command was to go show yourself. Yeah. And this is what they did. So as they went, they were cleansed.
Now let's get a backstory out of this. Here's 10 men coming into the priest. I dare say the priest already knew they had leprosy.
Well, they've got their garments with leprosy.
And they walked in there clean. The priest is obligated to ask how they got their healing.
That's right.
A man called Jesus.
That's right.
That's what he was after. The leper that said, I know you can if you will. One translation, he said, certainly I will.
Now, Jesus had healed a leper before.
He told him, don't spread this abroad. I believe he said, go show yourself to the priest.
Yeah.
But he disobeyed him. Mm. And he just began to tell everybody about it. And Jesus said, I must go into these other villages and preach. But this man stirred up so many people about it, he couldn't get into the villages. So trying to work with Jesus, he worked against him. That's not good.
That's not good. Now, Jesus had healed people with leprosy before by touching them, but he didn't do that here. This time he spoke to them, and as they went...
It was the command.
Right. Here's the point that I wrote this down. Having faith doesn't always produce godly humility or even gratitude. The Jewish group of that should have known to be thankful. How do I know that? When he says, were there not 10, the one that returned is a Samaritan. Now, he has a different standard than the other 9. There's a pattern that emerges when you read the miracles of Jesus. It seems that those who were consistently the most receptive and appreciative of his ministry were not Jews, were not raised with the baggage, like you said earlier.
Yes.
All the tradition and things. He told them to go see themselves because that's the principle in the covenant of Moses. But here's the thing. There's a covenant. Part of the covenant of Moses was when something spectacular happened to you, you brought a thanksgiving offering. There's a thanksgiving covenant. I didn't realize it.
Yes, there is.
But there's a thanksgiving covenant. There are 4 occasions when you bring a thanksgiving offering. There are these: crossing the sea, crossing the desert, recovering from serious illness, that's what this is, and release from captivity. If any one of those happened to you, you brought a thanksgiving offering to the priest.
Then there's the first fruits offering.
Yes, sir.
All of this is great thanksgiving and joy and dancing in all of these things.
So the Samaritan can't go to Jerusalem and do that, so where does he go? He went right back to the source and offered a thanksgiving offering. Yes.
Now, I was praying, and I wasn't praying about this, but suddenly the Lord allowed me to see it. And I saw them just as plain as I'm looking at you. I saw him run back up there. I saw him fall down before Jesus. And when he fell down there, part of one side of his nose was gone. And some other parts were missing. Even though he was healed. But now notice, and he said to him, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. When he got up, all of that disappeared. All of the bad marks, it just vanished, and he was completely whole. You couldn't tell he ever had leprosy. Yes.
Praise God.
You couldn't tell he ever had it. His faith made him whole.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He wasn't broken. You could, now the others, I can't tell you about them, but they were healed, so they no longer had to wear those ragged clothes so forth. But and I very well imagine, since Jesus is one that said it, they were made whole too. But this man, he said, your faith has made you whole.
Yeah.
Your faith.
And Jesus called him a stranger.
Yeah, he's a Samaritan.
Right. So let me prove to you these verses. Let me prove to you this Thanksgiving covenant that the nine should have known. In Psalm 50, verse 23, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Classic.
Good.
Psalm 50, 23, Amplified Classic. He who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me. And he who orders his way aright, that's what we're talking about over in Romans, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who prepares the way that I may show him, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. Here's another one. Psalm 54, verse 6, Amplified Classic again. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good.
Praise God forevermore.
Praise and thanksgiving,
yes, amen,
are tied together.
Yes.
You said something before the program, in between programs, about the big gun of praise, that thanksgiving. What was that? Thanksgiving is
the big gun of thanksgiving. And giving thanks is the big gun of faith.
Mm.
And we enter into his presence in prayer. We enter into his presence. But he inhabits the praise of his people. When we begin to praise, he enters into our presence.
Amen.
Now let me tell you the story. As you know, we were in Bogota, Colombia, and I've preached there more than once. This was the third time that we've been there. And a man by the name Ricardo Rodriguez, his wife's name is Patricia. They call her Patty. 15 years, nobody came to his church. 15 years. And I'm telling you, 15, 20 people, the Lord said to him, if you'll give me the first half of your day, I'll build a church. So he began to get up at 4 o'clock every morning, and he would fast and pray and study and study and study until noon. And they would go to church and they would begin to praise, and they are now called the Fire Church.
Mm.
And to get there, when you drive, you know you're there because you go down this small street toward that church and there are vendors out there with food and so forth because they know those folks are going to be in there for a while. And so the first time I was there, I preached to 23,000 people. Now, they have flagmen in the church that this one's healed, but they have a medical doctor to check you out. And if your heart's still a little off a little bit, he'll tell you, no, I don't want you to testify yet. But when your heart settles down, come back. Then, here was a man during that praise and worship with his son sitting on his shoulder. Now, just a few days ago, I was there that whole hour. And then I told them, I thought I came to church, but I came to a celebration. They started out with How Great Thou Art very slowly, and they just moved into other songs. You could sing them all until the miracles began, and we're out of time.
Oh.
But he entered into their praise and thanksgiving. And tomorrow I'll
Can we talk about that tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you. I'm coming back.
Okay. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have questions about what's going on in the world, about your future, your family, the direction you should go? No matter the questions and situations you're facing, you can rejoice and be shielded by the peace of God. Get the Family Peace Package, a CD series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland called Simple Stress Relief Through Thanksgiving and Praise, and their book, Family Promises. Start putting God's word in your heart now concerning your family, marriage, and children. Then when the storms of life come, you can be led by the Spirit of God to know what to do and respond in faith to overcome. Learn to quiet the sounds of the world and receive the answers you need for every situation you face, knowing God is with you. Your praise and worship to the Lord is a weapon that silences the enemy and produces an atmosphere where God's blessing flows. Roll your cares onto Jesus, your caretaker, and live in His peace that passes understanding. Request your copy of the Family Peace Package free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Receive the truth of God's Word established in your heart and grow strong in faith. The Family Peace Package is a great gift idea for your friends and family. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today. Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Build your faith through powerful articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories and testimonies of real-life victory and equip your kids for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today on our KCM website.
Most Christian people think they're too busy. Well, you're too busy to take the time to praise and worship the God that gave you life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Hallelujah. This book is alive. It is a book of blood covenants that ratified by the sinless blood of Jesus. We're going to finally get that over to the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And you'll get so powerful the devil doesn't even want to see you wake up in the morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Greg Stevens, and all the class reminding you again that God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord.
Yes, yeah.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.